This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm... let's just do the show, because I'm
You
fine.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy that we have Adam and we have a good guest. And
the guest is really exciting.
Yeah.
And despite like any personal stuff going on, we...
Timing-wise, it's not the best for me to have a good guest today, but I don't care. Like, I'm like just excited to do the show.
We can talk about it or not. I do think it's either
Adam, I just
we have a little bit of a personal thing going on. We are so excited to have you, but we have a little bit of personal stuff.
I want to talk to you, but I don't know if I'll be able to engage with you with what has been going on for me, which is some heavy stuff. If I could just talk about it and just clear the air, you probably feel that.
I think the best way to go is like talk about it, get it out. I'll sit here and like just get it out. I don't know if you want me.
Well,
to
he's a creative.
No, I mean maybe you can give your opinion. Like, so I was working today on a script. I'm sure you had plenty of those experiences.
In a collaborative.
I have a boss. You know, I do have a boss who's sort of the final say on what goes in, what doesn't, and we were working on a scene where a gentleman was in very good physical condition, and I thought that a character could say in reference to him, get a load of Benicio del Torso over here. Okay, that was what my boss said as well.
That's
was sort
so
of a
interesting.
Hmm,
that exact sound.
Like a hmm, yeah. And then a like, you know.
But we're all professionals. I mean, you're throwing out ideas, which is what you're hired to do. So maybe you threw one out. I don't know how you feel about that joke, but I think objectively it's not the strongest joke. So it didn't land right. So what's the problem?
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, that I don't think the joke was strong, and I agreed with my boss. I guess my issue was that then when I pitched Guillermo del Torso, that also was met with a
it's
hmm.
Like, what's,
and at
it's
that
like,
point,
what's
what,
the
what
issue
do you want?
At some point?
Like, what do you
like,
want?
What is it that you're, you know?
Oh, so you felt like you hit, like, that's as good as you can give. That's as good as it gets.
That was the spectrum, I feel like, of jokes that you could do, from more niche to, like, super accessible use of the word torso inside of a person's name. And right. So I guess I just don't know. Like, at that point, I'm like, not exactly sure what my job is, if that's not going to be what we do.
At least shoot it. You know what I mean?
Shoot it.
Like, at some point, it doesn't have to, like, maybe it's not, like, necessarily.
Cover it. Get coverage.
Just
cover
shoot
it from
it
a couple different angles.
And don't shoot any alts. You know? Because if you shoot alts, that undercuts the original.
Well, the crew will
thing.
Laugh because it's, like, fresh.
It's
or
new,
they haven't heard it.
You know?
But get, you know, get six or seven.
I mean, I'm a big fan of, like, why not shoot alts, especially for jokes. But in that case, I mean, that's really just a pun. It's also an odd choice of actor. It's not a guy. He's
because
a very talented.
Because they're, like, not the whitest guy. I mean, like, I don't.
I actually think that's good.
No,
yeah, I think,
no.
Like, I actually think they might even be white.
Well, he's also not a guy you think of as being in shape. He's also, I don't think he's doing anything big now.
That's the torso. That's what the torso.
Torso is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Well, you know, hey, look, sometimes your best ideas, if that's how you view it, they're not going to get across. And, you know, it sounds like you had a rough day at work.
Tough day at work, yeah. But let's, you know, this isn't about me, right? This is about you. This is your episode. You know, everybody kind of only gets one episode of the show that's theirs. I've had mine, and now this will be yours. So you were saying before we started recording.
It seems like you're resentful that I'm the guest on this episode? Am I reading into
no,
it? Like,
I don't, you know, I don't, that's not.
Like, it's, I mean, just, we've wanted, hosted, like, I've been in this place too where it's like we've hosted literally every single one of these.
Yeah.
And all we do on every single episode is give. And it's like, okay, at some point.
I don't have to be here. I mean, like, that's a strange kind of position for a host. Like, you guys are literally hosting the show. And to resent the focus being on a guest just seems like that's problematic for us even going forward. Like, I'm not even upset. Like, maybe I should just go, like, and let you guys work this out. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
It's weird to go on a show and say, the host be like, oh, I guess you're going to talk now. Like, well, yeah.
Well, I think it's, in this case, it could actually be helpful for Sean to have a project is kind of.
Okay.
No, and so the focus in my mind is actually never really on, like, on the host or on the guest. It's on the work. Like, the focus is on the work.
I understand what that means. I mean, it is a show you're hosting. I'm a guest.
Okay. Then, yeah. So what are you? Sorry,
and I
what
wonder
you
if this
be?
Is at the is if this is sort of at the core of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, and the whole thing, we're talking about your career today.
Yeah.
Right.
We were talking about it right before the show, and it sounded like some of the. So you said there's some good stuff.
Issues. Okay.
I mean, I'll forge ahead if you're. I mean,
that's
maybe.
What I was. I mean, I thought it. I was doing.
Let's
that,
just do it.
Like,
yeah, or Hayes, yeah. Hayes can do it, or you can do it. Yeah,
yeah. I'll be realistic. You know, I'll be honest because the only way to make something better is to look at, you know, the parts of it that are working and the parts that aren't. And if I look back at my career, which I, you know, I love to look back at my career. Anyone who's had dinner with me knows I'll get a far off look. You know, I always say, like, you know, let's start at the beginning. In this case, I'll just say I've had some high highs and I've had some low lows. The two high highs were I got to co-write a Marvel movie and
co-write. What's co-write in this case? Is it a quarter, right? You quarter wrote that?
Ant-Man, the original Ant-Man, I was a writer on.
Right.
No Wasp in that? Was a Wasp in that one?
Wasp pops up in the end, which was something.
Okay. All right. That was, I think, the issue with that one, that they corrected in the later ones.
The Wasp became bigger. Yeah.
And then the other high I had, I feel like you're tearing down my high a little bit, but anyway.
No. I love the introduction of Wasp.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's a funny way to frame the whole movie. It was sort of the origin of Ant-Man, and then Wasp was introduced as well. Okay. But anyway, the other high was Talladega Nights.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pretty nice chunk of brie from that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And a lot of box office, big playability across all the quadrants.
Mm-hmm. Bill Simmons, I think, did a rewatchables about it, maybe.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Or he's
that.
Thinking no, about I'm, it. I think
that's
what
on
he's
the list.
About
it's on his wish
like,
list.
Literally,
yeah, just getting,
I'm
the timing.
Blushing
so
right now. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I'm not even going to humble on that one. That's just awesome. Wow.
Can you imagine telling yourself, like, when you
talking
were, like,
to young
guy?
Adam, like little Adam, and going like, hey, one day Bill Simmons is going to do a
he's
rewatch.
Thinking about it.
Or
I don't
wanna, he hasn't done it.
But you're telling your young self, I don't want to commit Bill to this because he's got a lot, you know.
Well, now the second we're done with this, I'm going to Google it and see if that happened or it's being discussed. That would be awesome. So anyway, I had these two great experiences.
Yeah.
Talladega Nights, Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of stuff that, you know, I, for lack of a better way to frame it, where I kind of lost brand consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm here. I know you guys are very good at what you do, and I'm open. I want to get back on track. I want to get my brand back on track. I want to you know, focus my brand. It's time to go to the optician.
And we should I think we should be allowed to, like, start like talking. Is that okay?
We should get in there. Just like,
oh, I didn't know if I talked too much. I was trying to set up my dilemma, my problem.
It just depends on if you want us to be able to.
It was the right amount for like introducing the idea. And then like, I'd love to hear, I know from Hayes. And then I was going to ideally say something as well.
I mean, I should say nothing at this part. I mean, you guys,
you were making a whole thing about how like we're the hosts and like you're the guest on the show. And I guess just like consciousness of that seems to have also in addition to the brand consciousness, I think consciousness of the host guest dynamic has also.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what that means
bit.
In terms of like mic time or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure. Sure.
So when I see your stuff, especially the later stuff.
Yeah.
I sit there in the theater and I say, like, we're all whispering in the theater. He's all around it. He's so close to the, like, to the thing, you know? And, like, we're getting, like, you're bringing the audience closer together in a really positive way.
Yes.
By all of us being, like,
well, we're pulling for you to get
he
there.
He doesn't know,
and
like,
this idea was just one idea away from what the movie should have been.
Yeah.
And so I think
people in the theater whispering, like how many people, if you're in a theater, hopefully it's fairly full, 100 people, like you can hear the whispering.
You talk about your theater experience, because mine was different.
Yeah. So it was 100 people.
Oh, okay.
So basically what happened was, in order to bring more people into the theater, they took down a wall so that people just like passing through on the concourse, like, you know, in the lobby of the movie theater would just like be able to enter more easily, because they were worried that that was an issue with like getting people in the seats, that there were too many walls.
You guys have been around the block. I mean, you know, it's show business, which we all know.
Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind.
You got to fill the seats. Like, look, I want to, you know, I'd love to make an artful film like Stand By Me or St. Elmo's Fire or whatever. I'm not thinking of a great list, but you get the idea. We all love to make, you know, art, theoretically.
Yeah. No, those are not commercial films.
Yeah. But at a certain point, you got to fill seats. So we've done screenings where part of it's the movie, part of it is traffic safety school. We've done screenings where the DMV is full, so the part of waiting for the DMV is you go and sit in a theater and the movie happens to be playing. We've done giveaways in outside Dodgers Stadium in the parking lot.
So it's all cars, like car related.
It's, yeah,
screenings.
Because it is, it's traffic school, it's DMV, or it's a
the
parking
Dodger Stadium
lot.
Parking lot.
So it is, it's yeah.
We had our movie, The Big Short, was actually used as one of those prove you're not a robot tests. And people, you know, would say, I am not a robot. You click on it, and then you have to watch The Big Short.
Yeah.
Watch the whole movie to prove you're not a robot.
Find the Steve Carells in this grid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was a fire hydrant in the back of that scene with Christian Bale. Mm,
okay.
And so,
click on
look,
Max Greenfield,
I'm not, my hands are empty and up in the air. We're trying to get butts in seats. We're trying to get eyes on content. That's the name of my production company, by the way. Mm-hmm. Eyes on Content.
Eyes on Content. Yeah.
And so, you know, we're really oriented towards clear, definitional brand content. And I'm here to tell you, I think we lost our way a little bit.
Can I say something I've noticed?
Please.
You've done these films, and they, I guess, are about the news, but they feel a little dated.
Some of the news that when you do, by the time you do it, is actually kind of old.
The movie comes out, the news has happened so long ago. And what we were thinking about doing today was to try to...
Let's talk about the specifics, because Big Short was like a million years ago. By the time it came out, I was like sort of like trying to move on in a way. You know what I mean? I think we're all trying to move forward from that.
To relive some of that when I was like,
it was a bummer.
This just ended and is all done.
Yeah, yeah.
With Veep, I was kind of like, can I live, please, yeah, when you did Veep?
Please, can I stop being Veep
It's
all
not
the
Veep,
time?
It's Vice. Yeah. The movie's Vice.
Vice
that's
President.
Another note that's that what, I have. Yeah, Veep stands for, yeah. Yeah.
And Don't Look Up, but you know, like, and I got what it was about with
don't
like,
tell me what
the climate
do.
Change stuff, but like that was both like about something like a billion years
it's
ago
been going on
and,
forever, and it's like
and
not.
It's also way in the future, and I'm kind of trying to live, you know, yeah, what I mean, I'm kind of yeah, trying to
can
live
I, can
in
I
the
live?
Present and do mindfulness.
Something we talk about is like getting in between those, like
you
really
know,
it, getting in between those.
I mean, it's not a bad point. I mean, originally Vice was about Russia annexing Crimea. And because that was in the news. So I was yelling. I was yelling at the studio, we gotta make this now. Let's go.
Yes,
you know, my DP, get the lighting done. And then in the middle of it, it's like Putin got Crimea, it's over, and we're like, can I curse?
Well, the fact that
we
the
could
studio
do that
didn't,
one.
Didn't see your vision is,
yeah.
And I know you.
Well,
don't
I was
love
about
this.
To curse. Yeah. Am I allowed to curse?
Oh,
on
please,
this podcast?
Yeah, no, sound off.
So
go
I
off,
told
King.
The studio, I was like, "Cunt,
yeah,
we well. Got to do something here." And I was like, "What about Dick Cheney? People didn't talk about him a lot, and that administration in the Iraq War." And the studio was like, "No,
absolutely
and,
not." Yeah,
yeah. And
I almost I was said like, no when just now when you were. Just met.
Yeah.
I felt
and
myself,
then I was
yeah.
like, what if it's a fictional vice president and he's a little bit funny? And they were like, just do it because the Crimean annexation is over.
Yeah.
I'm already
yeah.
watching the news. And now it's about, you know, the Democrats and Republicans. They're kind of back and forth in D.C. and who's got the votes. And I was
right.
like, shit,
all
we,
that
we
shit.
Missed.
Who
I was like,
tell?
Yeah, I was like, fucking robot. Cunt, the time has passed us by. I'm yeah. allowed to curse.
You can curse. No, you can say robot. Cunt.
Oh,
no,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We all, that always comes up.
You got that one on Succession, right? I feel like they said that in the last episode, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they were making fun of me just because.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that.
Little,
I got that sound.
Yeah, I think like they said. Joke. They said goblin shark cunt
okay.
was the yeah. phrase they used. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. so anyway, so you guys are the headline. You're not wrong.
The headline radar, is headlines.
Yeah, the
Adam.
Headline is headlines. So Adam, our
that's
feeling
cool.
was
that's
that
cool what you did.
I'd like to evaporate the delta really between the news happening and us watching a movie about it so that we can't
yeah.
get in between
yeah.
those. And so what I thought we could do is pull up some headlines. You get on the horn. Let's cast these things. Let's make movies that are actually about what's happening right now and not about something from fucking like 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That nobody
or,
even gives a shit.
Or
who remembers?
The, like climate in the future. Like
yeah,
exactly.
I just can't wrap
two
my
years,
arms around it.
Three
like it's just not,
years in the future. Yeah, I get it.
I
get it.
Feel
it's not
shit
mindfulness.
From that. No, it's
before
not.
We get too far from it, I'm wondering, talking about brand consciousness, instead of eyes on content, if we could maybe take a look at Izod content.
Izod, yeah, Izod, yeah.
Because that's revenue.
Get the
that's
little,
reverend revenue.
The little alligator.
Is
it's, a resilient, it's a resilient brand, too, if you look
isn't
at
it
Izod.
Historically,
yeah.
yeah.
Always,
it's been with us, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I tell my daughter, through some physical limitations, used to struggle quite a bit at soccer. And I would always tell her when she would be out there and she'd say, Dad, can I please not do this because of my hip dysplasia, I would say, you're going to do it like that little alligator on the Izod shirt
yeah.
that I'm wearing. And because they went through the preppy thing, they went through hip hop, they went,
yeah.
that is one little resilient brand.
And if you're out mm-hmm. there on the pitch, top to bottom, Izod, not even wearing a soccer uniform, no one's really noticing how you're playing. You know what I mean?
I don't understand. You mean the field?
Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. No.
I'm a bit of a, I'm sort of a footy, you know, I don't really do American sports. I do.
I don't know what footy means. I don't get the reference.
That's the field. That's what we call the field. We call the ball a soccer ball. It's just kind of a. It's not American. You don't really make movies about that kind of stuff, but yeah.
Okay.
it's crazy, but he talks like this all the time.
This week on the Patreon, the boys record another memorable pro version, and the flagrant ones are mostly talking all things basketball. Plus, see Hollywood Handbook live in Los Angeles April 17th at the Dynasty Typewriter. Check out all these shows and the video of Sean and Hayes in today's episode at patreon.com/theflagrantones. Hollywood
Handbook. Hey gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hollywood Handbook.
So I wonder if Kevin, we can...
Kevin, you just want to pull up like the latest headline, something that would actually make a movie people want to fucking see?
Sure.
Okay. What's this one, Kevin?
This one says, this lizard species stress eats to cope with noisy U.S. Army aircraft.
Okay. And this is by Mindy Weisberger at CNN. Okay. So this is a Mindy project. This is a Mindy project.
Do we know if she's amenable to, you know, creating the IP? And yeah, that'd be great.
I'll speak to her.
Because this, a lot of ideas are sparking and shooting around. Do I die? I want to respect. Yeah, once again, I don't want to say host, guest, because you guys weren't crazy about that. But should I talk first?
I want to let you kind of get your sillies out at least, you know, and like
just shoot off,
you know, tire yourself out a little bit, and then like go.
Well, all right, real quick. So you guys know, I think we all love it when a beloved commercial becomes a TV show movie. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yes,
you're at home, you're watching this commercial, you're like, guy, you know, god damn, that's funny. That is fucking funny.
Why isn't this 2 hours long? Like, why?
Boom. Guess what? The Geico lizard has just moved because Geico fired him. And he wants to get back in Geico's good graces. He did something. I don't know. He, you know, he's a lizard. So maybe he ate. I don't know. He did something screwed up. He thought he was going to die and crapped himself and offended everyone in the workplace.
Ate like a so pet he has bug, to, that, like the boss's pet bug.
And now he's living by an army base, and it is loud. He's stress eating. He doesn't have a job. He's trying to create an apparel line. He's trying to become an influencer. He's doing all the things this great new economy we have provides for people, and it ain't going great. So guess who he meets? Another bug like the one he ate. But this bug's got ideas, and these are damn good ideas. So he's not going to eat them. They're going to work together.
Okay. So
I don't know.
What I love about it is that the headline is part of it.
Yes.
Because that to me was so strong when I read it.
Almost every part of it, the eating, the army,
the stress, the army base,
the noisy aircraft,
a lizard, and you got specific about the lizard.
Yes,
and you know what the bug's name is?
What?
Tommy Torso.
Tommy Torso. So that works in your mind.
So for you, Tommy Torso's okay.
Torso is.
What do you mean?
Just like what? I'm just
Tommy
trying to figure
Torso.
It out.
Okay, go ahead.
What? Tommy Latorso, like Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Latorso.
I guess that's
like
sort of
works.
Sort of. Okay, yeah. That's actually
where
strong.
I think we're like where we're going astray here is I think what where we always start, and for you that this is really exciting is casting.
Casting.
So when I see this lizard, I went to the same place you did, Geico lizard.
But
the good reverend is preaching again.
Reverend Revenue.
Yes.
But the thing is, when they do make Caveman into a TV show, they don't keep the caveman who nobody knows.
No. They let him audition, but it's
Nick.
Like, okay, thanks for coming
Nick.
In. They get Kroll.
So the Geico lizard, I'm going, who should it be? Because it's not going to be the same guy. It's not going to be the same guy. I can't put that on the poster.
Do you want to say... do you have someone in your head? I wonder if the same person popped into our head.
Let's say it at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you want to try 1, 2, 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Tim Duncan. Adam Sandler. Wait, what?
Okay, so.
Did you say Tim Duncan?
I said Tim Duncan, yes. I don't know if you don't think you can cast him. I've seen your other movies. You seem to be able to cast him.
Yeah, pretty much anybody.
If that's an issue, I can speak to. I'm already talking to Mindy, but I can speak to him as well. If that's a problem.
He's pretty much the greatest power forward in the history of the NBA. Like, I don't think he's gettable. I just don't. I mean, it's
he's
Tim
not playing
Duncan.
Anymore.
Yeah, but he's still busy being Tim Duncan every waking
Adam,
second.
Adam, if I can, just really
yeah, please,
quickly.
Please.
You're talking about how what you've been doing is not working.
It's not.
So let's
it's
do
not.
Something different. These actors are fake. Tim Duncan really played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what? I'm texting my agent, right? He's in.
Duncan is in.
Duncan.
He's in.
Amazing.
You guys okay. were right. He's okay. sitting around doing nothing, and he would love it. My agent just says, are you sure about that? I could perhaps get Antonio McDice, which
okay.
should we take a beat here? Because
I wonder if they're worried about it from a budget issue.
I
because
love having
McDice,
yeah. to drive Duncan down to go, hey, we got McDice, and he's going to do it for basically peanuts.
And also, Duncan, yeah. I think, probably has like 4 inches on McDice, I'm guessing, which is, if we're having Duncan play a lizard, then the entire rest of the set is going
to
have to
be
huge.
It has to be
huge. We're
going
to have to build
so
an
big.
Army base that is actually like, God, like 50-1 scale, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Compared to the size of the
I mean, just think
the
about
Geico
the plane
lizard.
That has to fly over his house, let alone the house he has to live in to look small enough.
So
to
you're thinking undersized power forward? I mean, because Grant Williams for the Celtics, you know, they're finishing out the playoffs, but he's a 6'7" power forward? I don't know. Yeah, I got lost. I got true. Lost. Get
yeah,
me back. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm worried that his shooting has fallen off a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And how, what's it going to be like?
He had a
like,
moment.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Moment, but, it's just,
but he's
it,
more
it feels
of a
like
chemistry guy. I mean, it's kind of him and Marcus Smart sort of, I don't know. I mean, we got Duncan. That's it.
We have Duncan.
In, yeah.
And I here's what I wonder. I wonder if we put out the feelers publicly, go to deadline and say like we're considering McDice and Grant Williams for this role.
Mm-hmm.
So Duncan really steps
he
his game up.
He puts the pressure on
and,
his guys.
And potentially even starts stress eating.
All right. I just heard McDice, yeah. my agent, is adamant, will not use a person of Antonio McDice's caliber as a stalking horse. He
okay.
won't
okay.
play that game. He respects McDice too much. I guess, let me scroll down. I guess McDice just did Long Day's Journey into Night
okay.
at
okay.
the Hartford Dinner Theater, and just people were floored. Hmm. So
he doesn't want to go for something
no,
that's commercial, maybe.
No,
Chris Birdman Anderson? I mean, is anybody, like would your agent be comfortable with exploring that?
I mean, let me try. Ooh, quick no. No.
That was quick.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Okay. That's making me nervous.
Quick,
though.
No. He just floated. He says, God, sham God for the bug. I don't know who that is. I like basketball, but I've never heard of God, sham God. But he said, God, sham God for the bug, question mark. And then he did an emoji. I think he hit the wrong emoji button. It's
what
the
are we
emoji
looking at?
Throwing yeah. up. Like, looks like throwing up. Money or something? I don't know what.
Yeah,
that
that's
means.
What that means. Yeah,
yeah.
It's, that's green. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's actually
so,
you. It's eating, like it's sucking up money from the ground. It's not going.
But anyway, I don't know who God Sham God is.
Okay.
So, but we have Duncan, and
we have
the
Duncan.
Buck.
We have
we
Duncan.
Need the
and
bug.
We, yes, and we potentially
Tommy
have the bug as
Tommy
well.
Latorso, the Italian beagle nosed, a lovable Italian, older Italian man. Who is good at knowing when to put in a pinch runner or switch out a player for fielding purposes.
And we have the Army, of course, will be willing to like finance almost the entire project, I guess. Just
well, I think we just, it's like really small. It's just a couple mentions, like when the planes are going by, they're waking him up in the middle of the night, that he'll be like upset that he's not getting enough sleep. He'll be upset that he has to stress eat, but he'll also be saying, but it's worth it because they're keeping our country safe.
They're keeping our country safe. Yeah, they're going to rescue. They're going to fly the planes into the Thai cave. And we should say for the purposes of the movie that's how they got the kids out of that cave.
Ooh.
The U.S.
Ooh,
Army.
That's good.
That they flew, the Army flew.
Like jets
their
in there.
Jets in there, yeah. And they were able to do an extraction mission.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Geico voice by Tim Duncan says, when the planes and tanks go by, can you believe we only give those those proud men $800 billion a year for the Pentagon budget. That's criminal.
Yeah, and one holiday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you believe there's only one Veterans Day?
He goes, that's the real insurance policy. Mm-hmm. What I'm handing out is funny money, because the real insurance is nobody's going to fuck with us as long
as
these
cool.
bitches are out
That's kind of cool.
So that's interesting to me. I have a feeling that we're struggling a little bit with this one. There's been some like cool ideas, but I think casting a bug, casting a lizard has put us in a hole, and I wonder if we should look at a news story instead that involves people. You're so good at working with real people, with the Veep guy and with the guys. Yeah.
I just told my wife the other day, I've had enough of real people. I'm all about claymation and animation, but honestly, you know what she said? You know what she said to me? Have you looked at your star meter lately? Because I don't think you have a choice. And I couldn't disagree. And I went back to talking to her about my memories in the biz. But that thought stayed with me for the rest of our dinner.
I'm liking your wife in this story. Yeah, I think she and I have a lot in common, because I agree that the star meter is making me sick.
Kevin, do we have another lizard story?
This one says, watch Weekend Update co-host get pranked on SNL.
okay.
That's a piece that of sounds, news.
And this was in the news.
This was a top news story. This
what outlet was that? The Economist?
That was
just say The Economist.
The Economist.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
It was The Economist.
Yeah, that
he's
the
guest,
Economist.
You know, like, let's have him feel okay.
That's funny. I don't know what to do with that, because I just love when people get pranked. I obviously worked at Saturday Night Live. And
they were doing a lot of pranks during the show, right?
Oh, my God. Everyone, you had to watch your back. Let me just say that, because there was always the funniest person from their high school class pulling a prank on you. Like Lorne one day, this is a really funny story. It's a little long. How are we doing on time? I'm sorry. How are we doing on time?
For a Lorne story, I got all fucking night, man.
All right. It's long. It's long. sorry. This story is a little long, this Lorne Michaels story, but we're good on time. I've told it before and I timed it. It's 47 minutes.
Okay. Is there anything that can be trimmed, or you need all of it? I hate to.
You know what? Let's just not tell it. Let's not tell it.
Okay. We can put it on Lorne's stories.
Yeah. The punchline is, I mean, it's a long story and it's not going to be as good, but hey, everyone, let's start putting the pranks on the page. Anyway, that was the last line of the story.
Okay, yes, yeah, I can imagine,
So,
saying that.
It's Jost, it's Che, right?
Yeah.
Do we want to, I'm thinking casting, like, do we want to, like, start there this time?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
I'll let you guys start with the casting, because I kind of got us in trouble on the last one.
Missed a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Ready? Do you have something going?
For Joe's?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One, two, three.
Seth
Doug
Myers.
Emhoff.
Oh.
Ron Perlman.
Oh. You said Seth Meyers?
Yeah.
So,
but
again,
I was panicking. I mean, I don't know why.
It's just
said
if
that.
You think you can get him, Adam, do you have any relationship with Doug?
I said Ron Perlman. What did you say? You said Seth Meyers, and then what was the third
Sean
one?
Sean said but Seth Meyers. I said Doug that. Emhoff.
Who's Doug Emhoff?
Okay. So again, this is like with the current, like really trying to keep track of current events here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Doug Emhoff is one of the most powerful men in the world. He is the second gentleman of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of a trailblazer in that way. We like to kind of keep track of like historic event, you know, like when people are like really doing something no one's ever done before, like kind of making a difference.
Yeah,
we like to keep track of that. We like to honor
the conversation
that.
Around like
as creatives, we like to celebrate
inclusivity
that
and just, yeah.
Boy, I like the Doug Emhoff. And you know what the real telltale sign was? I didn't know him by name, and I'm ashamed.
But that's how you know he's doing his job.
Yeah, right? But you know, like, I think there's an educational component to the idea of casting him because, okay, like, guess what, folks? The gender roles that you thought were always normal, and I'm guilty of that. What happens when they're flipped? And what happens when Emhoff is playing Colin Jost?
So maybe we can have Doug Emhoff come on screen and we can pull a page from The Big Short and we can cut away. Doug Emhoff first appears on screen, mm-hmm, as Colin Jost, and then we cut to Nelly Furtado. She's just finished a performance.
She's
so now the kids
hot,
are like
super hot right now.
Holy mm-hmm shit. It's Nelly Furtado's in this movie now. Now I'm watching.
Yep.
And she's like, hey, wondering who that was? That's the second gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff. He was willing to give up his schedule, his time to appear in this movie.
To come film this movie.
And
as,
to play
as
Colin Jost. Yeah. To play Colin Jost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's good.
I mean, that really tells people, like, sit your ass in that seat, mm-hmm, because someone made a sacrifice for you. And so I think that that's a way to, like, bring them in and have people feel special at the movies again.
I love it. I miss those days. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And not to sound like an older guy, but I remember when you would put on a suit and tie and you would have one of the horse carriages that give the tours, mm-hmm, around Central Park.
Handsome
take
cab,
you
yeah
to the movie theater.
Yeah.
And it really meant something. And yes, the usher would turn away certain people that he, and it was always a he, I'm not saying that's right, but the usher would turn away certain people he didn't like the looks of.
Yeah.
Same
way. And
you saw,
and this is chunky IP. I mean,
oh,
SNL.
Very
Colin, Colin Yom, like Shay. Like, this is good stuff. And the IP is like meat lasagna. It's bolognese IP. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I know this is an exercise for your show.
No, it's all content. I mean, it's always available, like, to transition immediately from the show into some sort of firm contract
that's happened financially
with us. Yeah.
And I wonder if, as we're marinating on this, we can kind of get ahead of a cultural trend that we've sort of talked about, that we're anticipating that, like, pretty soon it will be understood that Colin Jost is one of the most oppressed people on earth. It is essentially open season on this guy. They're allowed to just,
you're free to tee off,
basically,
on him,
say
at
whatever
any time
they want,
yes,
about him, and, like, say all these horrible things, and he's not allowed
terrible
to say anything.
He's part of some privileged group, right? And so, like, literally anyone from anywhere can just take a free shot at this guy. Mm-hmm. And
so if,
no,
in the future, if we shoot this with an eye on it being kind of like, I don't want to say like Selma necessarily, but like that,
no,
style,
that's, but that's
of
the
project
tone.
Definitely.
That's
yeah
the tone.
Don't,
of
but
it
don't say
yes
that.
No, we would
please
never say
I don't
that
want
no
to.
And we didn't.
But you kind of did, and it seemed like you wanted to.
I just said I didn't want to.
No, we'd rather not. But there's not another
good
time.
I would do like Cry Freedom, like more in that zone, where there's a white journalist sort of guiding you through the story of Stephen Biko. Like, so there's a buffer. So,
yes,
but yes, this could have a Cry Freedom.
I guess that would be Jesse David Fox from Vulture.
Mm-hmm. Steady hand at the till, sort of showing you what the journey has been. If we can get JDF, to me, he could also explain some of the jokes that are taking place on Weekend Update prior to the prank.
I won't watch a movie unless I know which of the characters is me, is the audience. I just won't do it. My wife knows it. Like, first 4 minutes, like, well, who am I? Who's the audience? And she's like, what? She'll say something like, you know, what do you mean? It's like, let's just watch it. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, nope, I'm out. Mm-mm. I get too unmoored. I get like a vertigo that I'm worried is going to become a brain aneurysm, which that's not rational. But
But it's not a good feeling. Yeah. It's like a dissociative thing where it's just like, what am I just like looking at someone else's perspective on life?
And if it's two people in the room talking, I'm watching them. And it's like, okay, who am I? Who's the other person that's just sitting here? Okay, now we're looking. Now a different person is looking at this. Like, where'd that person come from? Like where'd the original person
go? It's just their story? Yes. Like, what am I doing in it? It doesn't make sense.
Now we're suddenly in a completely different place. How do we get here?
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see Everything Everywhere All at Once? Which, by the way, award-winning film, love it.
Yeah.
But my critique was the title, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Mm-hmm. And so my wife made me go and like watch that. And right away I said what I always said, oh, who's the audience? Who am I? And next thing I knew, I was walking by the side of the 405 in a hospital gown with no underwear, with my, you know, naked flank.
They take it
flank.
Away. They take the underwear.
And that happened.
I had a very similar experience where I walked in. The first frame happened, and I went, well, not everything. Not everything everywhere all at once, because I don't see me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So if it was everything everywhere all at once.
And we talk about inclusivity. It's so funny that sometimes we forget to put me.
Yeah. We didn't include me.
In any of these movies.
It wasn't quite everything, was it, Daniel and Daniel? So I that was a valid criticism. And I managed to avoid your fate because I did immediately leave.
Smart.
And I did ask for my money back.
Yeah. I mean, show one shot of someone like me brushing down their beautiful horse at their Malibu ranch. And guess what I do? I keep watching.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you made a fan for life. You know, one shot of me, an Arabian stallion, and I'm sort of, you know, cleaning their mane. I'm making sure that their rump is shiny. And then, you know, all of a sudden, it's like you've managed to keep the, I don't know, how much is a movie these days?
$25 that I paid to get into this fucking thing.
Yeah. I mean, I might even check out your next one, too, if you just have one shot of me in therapy with my horse there. I'm allowed to take my horse inside. The horse is a support animal for me, and I if I'm gonna talk about this stuff, I'm gonna need my support animal. And you just do one shot of it's one shot in the movie, like it's, or one sequence, like,
it's you know, 25 frames or something. I don't know how many.
Can I be a scene?
Yeah, it's like a dollar.
I just had a movie idea. Emotional support animal. And it's a lovely girl. You cast, like, you do a wide talent search to get a kid like the kid from Over the Top, like just a beautiful child, almost porcelain looking child. Sometimes feels anxiety, which I'm told there are people out there that experience that. And she needs an emotional support animal. But guess what? She picks the least likable animal that gives her happiness. She picks a North Calgary Wolverine as her support animal.
Like a guy.
Yeah.
That could be me, honestly. But keep going.
That's interesting. Hey, I'll bend on that one. Maybe it's you. And everyone's like, this is awkward. You're a 9-year-old girl hanging out with a writer from Hollywood. Who can get a little prickly, and she's like, this emotional support animal makes me happy, although it's a man. And then someone's the audience. Then there's a guy who's just kind of always hanging around, like looking at the camera saying, can you believe this? So then I feel grounded.
Casting on Sean. Do we want to do casting on Sean?
Yeah. Who do we think's got the goods to play me? I mean,
do we want to do 1, 2, 3?
Let's do 1, 2, 3. Okay. We've had success with that.
1, 2, 3. Michael Dell.
Mark Spitz.
Who did you say?
I said Mark Spitz, Olympic swimmer, 5-time gold medal award winning Olympic swimmer.
He
from
sure
the
does.
70s.
I see that a little bit.
Yeah.
He's got the little lip lettuce for
Very
it.
Very flattering.
He's huge, too. Yeah. He's huge. He's a legend.
No, he's incredible. Incredible athlete.
Who'd you say?
I said Michael Dell.
Ooh.
And then we could, and again, like if we could get some participation from from him. Also creative, not just financial. Mm-hmm. Like we want to hear from him as well. We want his notes.
I'm a best idea wins guy. And so far, I gotta say, I think it's Mark Spitz, but
okay.
Let's hear the third idea.
I had said Trey Anastasio, but I'm kind of backing off that. I think I just wanted to be a part of saying something on 1, 2, 3, but I didn't really have an idea. And
he's not really an act. Like, he doesn't really act, I think, is part
that's
of the,
true.
You know, he's
that's
like,
true.
He's much more known for music.
I mean, he's a stage performer, and so I think he has a presence, and that could be taught. Obviously, he has great vocal control. But I also, you know, I'm not married to it. He's not Mark Spitz. I mean, he's just not.
And even as musicians go, I don't know if he's the one who's most known for stage presence and vocal. There's so many musicians.
Well, he noodles as well, but I assume that that would be part of the.
He is most known, one of the most known for noodling.
Yeah, he's
an incredible vocalist. We all know that. Or what do you, when you say noodle, what do you mean?
That he's noodling he's with his little.
Oh, he plays. Yeah. What's he fiddle, play? Yeah. Plays an instrument as well.
I believe so. Primarily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
He mostly is known for the harmonies.
He's
and
a vocalist.
The vocal mm-hmm. acrobatics. But he plays an instrument on some of the songs, and maybe he has that with him. Maybe that's how she, you know, the little girl finds him as her emotional support animal.
I was really settling into Mark Spitz, but like I said, I'm a best idea wins guy. And after hearing Trey Anastasio, like, I think it is still Mark Spitz. I really do.
Can I pitch you a song, a moment in the movie? And this works for Mark Spitz or Trey. So just know that. So I'm not ruling anything out. But somebody goes,
except Michael, though.
Somebody, yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm just saying you are ruling something out.
I'm ruling yours out. So someone says to the little girl, like, boy, this is a strange choice for an emotional support animal. We thought you'd pick an animal, a pet, like a dog, a cat, or maybe you would pick a fish. And then Mark Spitz or Trey goes, well, she kind of did.
Oh.
I mean, is that insane?
So if we write it,
is that insane? That they're just they're talking to the lens. Because either one of them would be
Harry. God, I just had a seizure.
Oh, wow. From liking that so much?
Adam.
I think I just had a seizure.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
So we pull back from that. We don't want to do that to everybody.
Yeah, I'm a best idea wins guy, but not if the best idea is going to give people a seizure.
Is getting people hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
I wonder if we do them all. We pull back from that. We do emotional support animal. The emotional support animal is the Geico Gecko.
Ooh.
We play out that whole like army story, whatever you were doing. Like, we do that as like sort of a cold open,
better.
Possibly even shorter than that.
You're cheering me up.
And then we take that into emotional support animal. The Geico Gecko is adopted. Tim Duncan is adopted by this girl who I don't think we kept. Carrie Strug. I think we just like it's assumed it's Carrie Strug.
I like it. I like
Carrie
it.
Strug.
Just
yeah.
Quick yes. Quick rapid fire yes.
We play this out for a little bit, and then we cut to Yost and Che doing within the movie. You know, did you have them do and like Don't Look Up or these like, you know, like they're making jokes about like what's happening in the movie? You know what I mean? You can get them
always,
to do that sometimes.
Always do that.
Always.
Yeah,
every
love,
one of your
I love
movies. That's right.
That's, I always have someone say the title, and then another character goes, that sounds familiar.
I like that part.
It works.
That's always
one
a
of
good
those
part.
Things.
That works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get him, like the two of them will do it. Fallon will like do a little bit.
I like that.
I feel like Peter Muir will like be like do the news, like talking about like he's available.
Ooh.
He likes doing that stuff. Anderson, of course. But then instead of going back to the original story, we just stay with Weekend Update.
Stay with Weekend Update. We stay with Peter.
In all these other movies, they go back to the story. They show a montage of people making jokes about the big current event that's happening in the movie. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to the big current event. And it's like, wait, what's going on with...
It's like, well, I really those was guys enjoying are the newsreel and the yes. jokes and the late night stuff. Can we just
I
hang
like
out
it.
With
you
them?
Know what I, yeah, I also like it. Like, you just bam. You, like, hammer out with 7-8. Just, you know, hard shot off the left field wall jokes, and you just leave them laughing.
Fun, yes. Fun.
Yeah,
shit.
Just funny.
Yes. Yes.
Let's put the work in where it can do the most damage. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Single, and you're looking hard at trying to get second before you do kind of.
Yeah, but the guy's got a good arm, so you don't. No. You hold up.
You're running hard. You get told. Yeah, hang on. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Yeah.
Made that kind of hollow thumping sound, but the left fielder played it well.
It's 110 off the bat, but yeah, just didn't.
Yeah, but you had to hold up at first, and maybe you even get nailed trying to get back to first.
Well, yeah, that could be it.
You rounded too far.
You went far enough to second that you realize, oh, wait, I'm not going to make it, but when you go back, the ball's already on its way to first.
Yeah,
and you do end up having to walk back to that old dugout.
And but that's a hit. Over. It's still a hit.
No, it is.
It counts as a hit.
Yeah, you tag the base safe. But yeah, it's that. Yeah, that could be interesting. I think we could write that level of joke and just live in that space, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Follow mm-hmm. them home.
I like it. I like it.
Do you want to, like, we do... But since we have it, I actually think we do have time for the Lauren story, if you want to.
Yeah, we got it. I mean, I know it's long, but I
wasn't expecting to get it that fast. So if you just want to like get into the Lauren story.
All right,
like,
received, let's do it. Let's do it. I got to change positions because last time I told it, like, it was weird. My thigh fell asleep, which is weird because you think the blood goes through the thigh to the calf, but it was just my thigh.
And the,
felt
and
like
the calf stayed awake. That's so interesting.
That's not good. So
dead pig, like that someone took out of a meat locker. It was an uncomfortable feeling. Okay. So Lauren, every day when he gets off that elevator on the 17th floor, he has a... Oh, really? Okay, Harry's telling me no way.
Okay, Kevin's telling me we have to go too. I guess Harry might have supposed to have texted Kevin or something.
So we both have.
And I just got another text, Tim Duncan, floor for him doing the Geico movie, 7.8 million. Okay. So that may be a no go as well.
So we
hate to end with a bunch of no's, but
we might not be able to. We might not be able to do.
Yeah.
To do any of this.
To do any of it. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.